Good morning. Please join me in singing our opening stanza of Lift High the Cross. We welcome you to Main Street United Methodist Church, and we hope that you'll register your attendance with us this morning. It's a special day for us here today. We're saying goodbye to someone we care for very dearly, and we hope that you'll join in with that dedication at the end of the service. It's a sad time, but it's also a happy time because he's moving on to somewhere else to start a new adventure. And next Sunday, we welcome our new minister, who is Terry Martin, and we hope that you will all be here next Sunday. I know it's the 4th of July, but you know, we need a few fireworks around here, so make sure that you're here Sunday morning to welcome our new minister, to say hello, and make sure that he feels welcomed as he comes to his new appointment. Also wanted to call your attention to the Wednesday summer Bible studies. There are two Bible studies that are being offered on Wednesdays at 6 o'clock. You pay a dollar for pizza, which is provided for dinner, but your two choices are Becoming More Than a Good Bible Study Girl, which is for women only, and Modern Parables, Living in the Kingdom of God. So if you're interested, make sure you attend, and the books are $5 for the series, and there is childcare available if you would like to join in with these groups. And now please join me as we prepare our hearts for worship.
If you're able, please stand for the call to worship. Call to mind the mighty acts of God. Remember the wonders God has revealed in your life. All the ways of God are holy. Nothing in heaven or earth is so great as God. With a strong arm, God redeems the people, Day by day, God leads us with a shepherd's care. Even when the earth trembles, God is with us. When lightning flashes, we are confident of God's care. We have inherited the mission of the prophets. We need the prophet's mantle from our God. We have come to be equipped for our task. We have gathered for renewal of our lives.
Please be seated. I invite you to join me in our invocation. We cry aloud to you, O God. Hear our prayers. In times of trouble, we need your comfort. Amid our confusion, we seek your clarity. From temptations of the flesh, we beg for liberation. Lead us away from the false gods we create, that we may meet you here with full expectancy and eager responsiveness. Amen.
The Old Testament reading for today comes from the book of 2 Kings, chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 and 6 through 14. You can find this on page 412 in the Old Testament section of the Pew Bible. In this passage, we hear a final story in the life of the prophet Elijah as we explore the passing on of Elijah's mantle to Elisha. The mantle served as a symbol of leadership and the legacy of serving God as a prophet. Listen now for God's word to us. Now when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the company of prophets also went and stood at some distance from them, as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water. The water was parted to the one side and to the other, until the two of them crossed on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you." Elisha said, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit." He responded, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted you. If not, it will not." As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. He picked up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water, saying, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" When he had struck the water was parted to one side and to the other, and Elisha went over. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you for the hands.
As we come to our time of prayer, let me lift up just a few names in a special way. Charlie Dent, who is home recovering from some brain surgery, which was successful, we believe. Jay Pendergrass, who's had a few setbacks, but overall is improving up in North Carolina. And also Everett Fitz, who is at the rehab hospital recovering but very weak. Let's be in prayer for them in a special way, as well as your own private prayers that I encourage you to lift up as we pray together. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, from before the beginning you are God. From outside of time you came to us in Jesus Christ. And in him we saw your love and grace. In Jesus we saw your face. And you know us and our life and our trials and our temptations, for you have walked where we walk. We thank you, Lord, for coming near. We thank you, Lord, for the cross. We thank you, Lord, for your grace and eternal hope. We have, as your people, accepted your great gifts, not only for ourselves, but as a treasure meant to share with others. We pray your blessings upon each member of Main Street congregation as they each individually continue to echo and share the love of Jesus Christ in ways large and small, through the church and at work and with strangers who cross our paths. Father, we pray for those in our midst who are grieving, for those who are in doubt, in fear, for those who are wounded, for those who have become bitter or hurt, or need your healing touch or our compassion in some way to give them the warmth of your presence. Lord, let us be the warmth of your presence and hear our prayers as we lift them before you in silence in our hearts. Lord, hear our prayers, for we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now let us continue our worship through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts.
Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We do thank you for entrusting unto us enough resources to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these returns unto your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen.
Please be seated, and we invite the children forward for the children's message.
Good morning. Good morning. Am I on? Can you hear me? I guess. Today is kind of a special Sunday, and it's kind of right in the middle of two other special Sundays. Does anybody remember what special Sunday was last week? Last Sunday. What was last Sunday? It was Father's Day. Great. And that was the day we honored our fathers, wasn't it? Does anybody know what next Sunday's special day is? We do get a new preacher. It's another special holiday. It's July the 4th. Do you know what that means? Does anybody know what July the 4th means? It's a special holiday. Right. It's a celebration of the beginning of our country, our Independence Day, when we got to come and go to any church we wanted to and worship the way we wanted to. But today is a day in the middle of those two. Does anybody know what's special about today? This day? Today's Sunday. This is a sad, special day. What's today's? She doesn't know. What's today?
It's Reverend Jim's last Sunday.
That's right, and that makes it a sad, special day, doesn't it? So what I want us to do today is something really special for him, because I want him to remember you. What is this? What is this? It's a hand. What can a hand do? What can a hand do?
Help.
It can help.
Move.
It can move. Can it wave? Can it throw kisses? Can it hug? Can it help? Can it mash Play-Doh? Yeah, so it can do lots of things. That's right. So what we're going to do today, and we'll finish outside because I don't think we'll have time to finish. I've got some paper, and I've got some colored markers, and I want you to put your hand on a piece of paper, and Miss Kathy and I will help you draw your hand on this piece of paper. And when we finish drawing your hand, you're going to put your name on it, and if you're old enough to write a message to Reverend Dennis, you can write him a little message on your page, and then we're going to put it in this little book. And the front of the little book says, Reverend Dennis, Happy Hands for Hugging. And so any time that he wants to think about Main Street Methodist Church, he can look at his book and see your hand in it. Okay? Sound like a good idea? Okay, bow your heads and let's say a prayer, and then we'll go outside and work on this. Dear God, thank you so much for helping hands.
Thank you so much for helping hands.
Thank you for hands that can hug and wave and throw kisses. Thank you for our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, join me and Miss Kathy outside, and we'll get this book ready, okay?
And young folks, if you can't write, you can make one of those hand turkeys for me. That's appropriate on so many levels, I think. Let us pass the peace. And now let us affirm our faith through the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our gospel reading is actually on page 86. I think the copy of the bulletin I have may have the different version than you have. But it is Luke 9, beginning with verse 57. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Before the sermon, I do want to announce I did omit and should not have and apologize that Joanne Holy and Marilyn Mack lost a brother this past week. Be in prayer and support of them in their loss. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I have become famous over 6 years for telling horrible groaner jokes that somehow, sometimes fit into the sermon in some way. I have saved the very worst for last. As this story goes, Mother Teresa ended her journey of life and she arrived in heaven and she was surprised to be served at her first meal a tuna fish sandwich. And to make matters worse, Mother Teresa looks down and sees the denizens of hell and they're eating caviar and champagne and lamb and truffles and chocolates, and she ponders this but says nothing. Well, another mealtime arrives and another and another and another can of tuna is opened. She can't contain herself any longer. And meekly she says, "Lord, I am grateful to be in heaven by your grace, and I served you in life, and I will serve you here. But all I get to eat is tuna and a piece of bread, while in the other place they eat like kings and queens. I just don't understand." And God sighs and says, "Now let's be honest. For just two people, does it make sense to cook?" The Christian, it says here, sermon follows, wait. The Christian life is not easy, and there are many questions. And what happens after life is also a subject full of questions. But both readings today deal with life's unavoidable movement and changes, a subject that's very much on my mind on this last Sunday. In the gospel, Jesus describes himself as passing through life homeless and offering not wealth and not stability and not riches or fame, but offering only God. And then in the Old Testament, Elijah the prophet is passing through and offering his mantle, that's a symbol of the prophetic office, to Elisha to carry on the work of speaking for God. You'll notice that Jesus was brutally honest in his encounters, and the honesty discouraged some of these folks who would be followers. He was honest and said, "Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." And when the would-be followers heard that, they sort of backed off and said, "Now I need my creature comforts, Jesus. And if your journey is like that, it doesn't sound like something I want to do. Good luck. See you." Another said, "Let me first bury my father." But if you dig deeper into that passage, it probably means that my father's getting older in 5 or 10 or 15 years. He'll probably die. So let me just stay home for whenever, however long. See, he kicked the can of discipleship way down the road. And you'll remember another encounter, not for today, in which the rich young ruler found out that it cost to follow Jesus, and he turned away very sad because he wanted to have Jesus and all his money, and he had to make a choice, and he chose the money. Jesus obviously never consulted a public relations firm because he told folks, "Take up your cross and follow me." Nobody wants to do that. A cross. Can't we follow safely from a distance? Can't we follow in just the inexpensive, non-time-consuming ways that we enjoy? Can't we follow in small, small ways among our peers and our friends and let the rest of the world take care of itself? I mean, life is short. Why would we want to spend it all following Jesus? Jesus makes it sound so unappealing. So life-consuming. I mean, if you listen to all of Jesus' sayings and you put them side by side, you get the impression that he believes nothing else in the whole world is more important. But that's not the way we prioritize it. Because life is so fleeting. Worship and service and Bible study and witness should be that little extra on top of an already busy life, just to top it off nicely when we feel like it. Right? Do you recognize that attitude? I'm afraid we all do. Is that what Jesus meant when he said the kingdom of God is something a man would sell all that he owns in order to purchase or possess? Jesus' answer to life is short was this: so live for something eternal. Live for something that matters. We are all passing through each other's lives and through ages and stages and through changes of address and status and even death. But there's this old gospel hymn that has a bit of an answer. "This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue." And I know a few of you said, "Well, oh, that's such a simple-minded pie in the sky when you die hymn." But on the other hand, we do die. And whether it's pie or whether it's tuna, we do proclaim that there is something which comes next. And God holds that something, and God holds his children here and there forever in ways that we cannot fathom or even begin to imagine. So it matters what we believe and what we do because of what we believe. Someone at Wesley Common said last week, used the phrase God's GPS, God's compass, or God's guidance system. When we believe, God does send us out in a particular direction doing something. Because each of us, all of us have a ministry, have a mission, have some sincere caring or compassion which we alone are uniquely qualified to give. And sometimes we are able to give it because we have taken some pretty bumpy roads and some dead ends ourselves, and that's how we learned what other people need on the same road. And we called out, "Lord, save us," and God embraced us, and we as wounded people became wise and trusting people. People who have had easy lives have very little to teach. Wisdom does not come from ease. And Jesus knew that. And Jesus lived that, and he is saying that in today's passage. There is a resistance in this world to truth and goodness and love. Scripture reveals characters like Pontius Pilate and the chief priest Caiaphas. They were politically calculating, and they pondered what might bring them power. But you know, really, they were absolutely uninterested in the truth or what God might want them to do. And that still seems to be the case among people of power. Self-interest rules. While truth and God are only words to be used as tools, it is wounded, honest people of God who I trust. Honestly wounded and honestly inadequate and honestly dependent upon nothing less than God's grace every day. And every day they seek to falteringly follow God's will as they are able to discern it. And that's about as Christian as a life can be. Following faithfully, inadequately, falteringly, trusting God and God's wounded but healed children to support us around. I'm reminded of another old song. I have decided to follow Jesus. No looking back. No looking back. There are certainly easier ways to live. Living cross-free, service-free, stewardship-free, isolated, unreal, maybe fashionable ways to live, but they are empty, and they are solitary, and they are isolated, and they are a lie. They ultimately deny the very existence of God, the God who is, the one God who is and is worthy of worship, the one who forgives, the one who loves as much as the cross and as deep as the grave. Living cross-free, service-free, stewardship-free, isolated and unreal is so empty. I fear for those who follow their God-given hunger for meaning and try to find it apart from God, sometimes in drugs or alcohol or meaningful relationships or meaningless relationships or money or power or fame, etc. I fear for their souls and for the damage done to their children and other people who love them. Because life is serious business, and love is serious business, and our desire to serve and worship is a God-given serious hunger. But truth is, we like to keep it light. We are all dealing with wounds of all sorts, and the church ought to be a safe place to share. But it isn't. And there is not enough real honest sharing and real honest compassion and support going on in this or in any other church. In fact, I will go so far as to say that some of you, even in 6 years, some of you, even though I see you on a regular basis, some of you I have never met. Not the real you. I've met the polite you, the Sunday you, the please accept this excuse with a smile you. But who you are really, the wounded in need of healing you, the seeking racked with doubts you, the grieving crying out late at night you, the behind the practice smile, many of you I have not met. And for that I am sorry. And I own that there is a part of me that discourages that. And I apologize. Jesus in today's passage spoke directly and concretely, and he challenged the wimpy, dishonest excuses in the gospel reading today. And I don't usually challenge wimpy, dishonest excuses, and maybe I should, because a challenge creates a crisis of faith, and you might need a crisis to face yourself, to face your faith, and to grow. Will I or won't I treat my faith as something serious and vital and life-defining? Will I act on what I know from Jesus' example, what he would have me do for others, even when it costs me time and money and talent and personal involvement? Jesus concretely and directly challenged people's excuses and lies. And whether I or any other preacher challenges you or not, Jesus still challenges. He challenges my excuses and lies. As I was thinking about this, there are many examples, but one is this. I have been known as a pastor to knock on a door, leave my card, knock on a door again, leave my card. I try twice and then act as if I've done enough. And that's a lie. A lie that I tell myself. And we all do that. As Jesus passed through, he met needs. He lifted up new followers and he called and he taught disciples and he stood up to the powerful and he stood up to lies and he stood up to excuses and he stood up to deceit. He called sin, sin, but he didn't stop there. He offered real forgiveness to those who really came to themselves seeking it. And he was the whole package. He was law and grace. He was judgment and redemption. He was death on the cross and then new life, resurrection, real life offered to us. I read a comment about the New York City Marathon a few years ago. And somebody was standing right next to a sports reporter, and when the wheelchair participants came into view and people began to applaud, there was a man beside the reporter and he remarked, "Wait until the real runners come along." But another person on the other side of the reporter said, "This is as real as it gets." Folks, some of you are running beautiful races. In wheelchairs, metaphorical, and some of you in wheelchairs, real. You may not be or see yourself as a superman or a superwoman, but, you keep rolling. When so many other people would give up on God and give up on life and give up on even the hope of hope, there are some of you who just keep rolling. There are members among this church who have inspired me. And I'm not going to name names because real people like that hate to be spotlighted. That's not why they do it. Those who I know who are struggling every day just to get up and get out and try to live and try to forgive and try to keep their families and their children and their marriages and their finances together, who try to follow and believe the gospel all over again every day, I salute you. I admire you. The reality of real, honest faith over doubt and perseverance over pain. Makes me proud to have known you. What about those who are still sitting and stagnant and stale in their faith? Well, maybe you need a mentor like Elisha needed Elijah to bring you along. And I hope that you will find a Sunday school class or a Stephen minister who suits you or someone to help mentor you to the next step. We are all moving, we are all changing, we are all growing, or we should be. Or maybe we all need a goal in the distance. That's what that final verse in the gospel reading is about. He who sets his hand to the plow and then looks back is not worthy of the kingdom of God. I know a lot of folks just say, huh? What is that about? Well, it means you need a far-off, definite focal point, a bullseye, a target to aim for, or your rows will get all messed up when you're looking back. God's GPS, God's beacon, God's goal of a perfect life lived in God's will, God's Savior over our sins, God's redemption from death and judgment, Jesus is all of these things. And only by the power of God and the Holy Spirit do we have any hope of traveling very far? But Jesus is the goal. The life that was in Christ is our goal. And to reach that goal or even go near it, you have to keep your eye on it in the distance steadfast. Don't wait for things to be perfect before you start moving. Move. Times are wasting. Remember, we are all just passing through. Take your faith, your prayer life seriously, your scripture study, your worship, your service, and your witness seriously. And when you do, this church will become a beacon of hope and change and a hotbed of God's activity. To continue Jesus' ministry and make a difference for God, we have to act where we are and try as we are and grow as we go. Just keep your eye on the goal. And I think about this church and its proud past. And sometimes we, who've been members here for many, many years, and 6 years now I've been here, though not a member, it does have a proud past, but the past is dead, and it's not coming back. And what once worked will not always work because the world is changing around us. Many of you have heard around Lent, you hear the seven last words of Christ, but have you ever heard the seven last words of a church? The seven last words of a church are, "We've never done it that way before." Those are the last words of a dying church. People who worship the God who changes things dare not be tied to a deep-rooted tradition. So plowing toward the future, planting seeds of the gospel all the way, looking back will mess you up. Looking straight down at the present moment will also get you off course. You must look to the future. You must be future-focused. Pollsters tell us now that in our country and in the world, we are all becoming less and less Christian. And that makes your personal witness imperative. Are we teaching our children how to understand and claim and share the faith? And if we don't, who will? If we serve the God who holds the future, we know that following Jesus closely is the thing that gives our life meaning and purpose. And that is what we all are hungry for, meaning and purpose. Christians are those who find it in Jesus. And all this means, and this is an unexpected closing, I think, all this means that the odd and the lonely and the misfits must be made welcome. Because you don't know what God is going to do through them. Raise your hand if you're odd. Okay, we got a few. If we stop welcoming these folks, they will stop coming and our potential dries up. The glory days of the past are tied to members who have passed. Literally passed. So welcome whatever newcomers, the odd, the lonely, the people that you might call a misfit, because of such God has always grown the kingdom. And besides, someone somewhere thinks you are odd too. Face forward. Just as Jesus set his face on Jerusalem, set your face on the kingdom of God, following as nearly as you are able to discern, following Jesus Christ. We are not a nice little club saying nice little prayers and doing little things in little ways for little lasting impact. No, faith is real. And the consequences are lasting and eternal. And what we do here is serious. Live it that way, do it that way, and don't look back. The mission remains the same. In just a moment, we're going to ritually pass the baton to Reverend Terry Martin. He is not here, but next week he will be and lead you to places you have not been before. Pray for him and pray for me as I go to that wild, far country called North Augusta. I know nothing about it, but soon I will. We, Caroline and I, will remember you with love in our prayers. And always for the ways in which you have shaped us as we have struggled and grown together. And grow we did. Continue to grow. Grow Godward. Grow that-a-way. Grow Christward. No looking back. No looking back. Amen.
be seated.
Please be seated.
The appointment of a pastor to a United Methodist Church is only for 1 year at a time. While most pastors are reappointed for multiple years, eventually the time comes when a congregation must say farewell to one pastor and welcome another. Since June of 2004, Reverend Jim Dennis has been our spiritual guide and our pastor. Today we recognize that through prayerful consideration, our bishop has appointed Jim to serve another congregation. And it is time to bid Jim and Caroline a fond farewell.
I thank you, members and friends of Main Street United Methodist Church, for the love and support you have shown me while I have ministered among you. I am grateful for the ways my leadership has been accepted. I ask forgiveness for the mistakes I have made. As I leave, I carry with me all that I have learned here. I accept your gratitude and forgiveness, and I forgive you, trusting that our time together and our parting are pleasing to God. I release you from turning to me and depending on me. I encourage your continuing ministry here and will pray for you and for your new pastor, Reverend Terry Martin. Let us pray together. Eternal God, whose steadfast love for us from everlasting to everlasting, we give you thanks for cherished memories and commend one another into your care as we move in new directions. Keep us one in your love forever. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.